الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. We heard in the kitab reading of the Fadail of Quran Sharif the great virtues of Surah Fatiha, and who read it to us is Maulana Suleiman, who is a medical doctor also, and he gave advice that first you take this precaution, this treatment, then go for medical treatment. So that is from a Maulana and a doctor also, a medical doctor, and he's a Hakim also. So Allah Ta'ala, and he gives his service to the MashaAllah Mu'atakifeen also every year. Allah accept inshaAllah. In this Ayat-e Kareema, where Allah Ta'ala has prescribed fasting, and that is not just staying hungry, but keeping fast of the various parts and various aspects, then fasting becomes what we call in Shariat a Sawm, a fast, a shield it becomes now. After otherwise, just being on a hunger strike, just staying hungry, then there isn't that benefit in that. If we keep our rozas, just staying hungry like the vast majority of the Muslims do, who keep rozas, they just stay hungry. And further than that, many, we don't even perform our five times namaz with the roza also. Many, we are just carrying on our normal life. We have got our roza, but we're carrying on. But the actual roza is what is complete adornment and the great spiritual benefit, which a Sufi I've said, which we have discussed some already. One is roza of the eyes also, and with all the details, and that is not enough, there is much more. And also one point we should try and make in our lives, if we can, that from here when we leave, not only that we have done and we leave it behind us here, we don't take our baggage with us. Somebody is going to travel and he leaves his baggage at home. He has so much difficulty. So what we have done here, what we have learned here, all the programs, let us keep it with us also. So we build on it further. And a part of that is to have ta'aleem, whether even individually, but get good authentic Islamic kitabs, which mashallah today the market is filled with English kitabs also. Good authentic kitabs. In Urdu, there is no limit. And of course, Arabic, of our Islam and kitabs, there are so many. But English, commonly, which we understand, is to try and make a daily practice to study some kitabs. Have ta'aleem in the house also. The minimum is to have the ta'aleem, and there we read some kitab or the other, the Fadail kitabs or any other kitabs, from our authentic ulama. For that, very important, ask an alim whether this kitab I want to study, whether it's all right. Sometimes there are some kitabs which appear very, very glossy, very, very attractive, but the content is very dangerous. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained that some Orientalists, before they should attack Islam, unfortunately Islam is under attack from within its own people now. And one time the open kuffar used to attack Islam, and they showed the crusaders in the battles, etc. Then they resorted to literature, etc., and propaganda. And then the Orientalists who were well wishers of the Muslims. So the Mufti Sahib say one person wrote a kitab on Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. Fantastic kitab, great virtues of it. Anyone who sees it will be impressed. But he just left his little poison. What poison did he just put in with all the other good? With all the zamzam water, he just put a few drops of urine also. He said, but he used to fabricate hadith. So by that you lose full trust. And when a person of the caliber of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then this doubt just has to come in your mind. And then it doesn't only remain to him, then you start having doubt on all the hadith. You will start having doubt on Quran, on Deen also. He's just there. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the Sahaba, far above that. Where can the thought of fabrication of hadith come? So we should be very careful whose kitabs we read, and make sure that we are reading the right people's kitabs. So we should try and have ta'aleem and increase, so that all these matters, whether it is with regard to the diseases of the eye, the spiritual diseases, and the remedy. Then we discussed about the tongue, and then about the ears, and then about the thoughts that we get. And then with regard to the food that we eat, which is also very important. A sixth point which ulama discuss, the Sufis discuss, is that after having kept roza and after having done any good amal, then the concern should be whether it's accepted or not. We should not become conceited that I did so much. We went in Jamaat 40 days, 4 months, sometimes a lot of mujahada also. Sometimes we saw the open nusrat of Allah also. We went for Umrah and we enjoyed the Umrah, and there were such occasions, the way we enjoyed at the Kaaba Sharif, at Rauza Mubarak, or we came to the Khanqah, whatever. A student became an alim. He spent how many years, became a hafiz, alim. He became a qari also, he became a mufti also. Now when he's complete with everything, then the pride must not come into a person. Whatever we do, no pride must come into a person. And never must a person sit on his laurels. I've done so much. This is also one great weakness which comes to many khadims of deen, the ulama, who serve deen practically their whole life. And towards the end, they feel, now it's enough. Let me rest now. Resting is only in the qabr. We are in this dunya, there is no resting. Till the last moment, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, dunya mehnat ki jagah. Till our last moment, there is a place to make effort. Qabr, sone ki jagah. To sleep will be in the qabr. I feel I've done a lot. I've traveled so much. I've gone in jamaat so much. Now let me take it easy. No, mehnat ki jagah. Or sleeping, that we'll do in the qabr. Yeah, in Ramadan also. Sleeping, it comes, the demand of sleep, and we have to sleep also. But we try and minimize it as much. And say when we go in the qabr, it will be said for that person, nam ka naumatil urus. Sleep how the bride sleeps in her first night. That you just have, and you know now you are safe. You are in the safe hands of your husband, and you are completely safe. So that is with me. Or Jannat maze urane ki jagah hai. And Jannat is the place just to have endless fun and enjoyment. In every aspect there will be just fun and enjoyment. No fun and enjoyment in this dunya. No rest in this dunya. One who starred in Darul Uloom Dioban, he became old also, and he thought, now I can't teach now, old age, let me take it easy. So Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali was at that time in Darul Uloom Dioban. He called for him, he was gone on a safar, he should travel a lot. When he came and he saw that he has decided that he's not going to teach, his name is not on the timetables to teach. So he called him, he told him that don't do this, till your last moment teach. Make it less, but teach, that you engage yourself, don't withdraw from it now. Mufti Saeed Palanpuri Rahmatullahi was the Sheikh al Hadith of Darul Uloom Dioban. He said that in the Western world, when they give you retirement, that is the time we give you employment. That when a person is retired now, 60, 65, they say now he mustn't work anymore. But we say now is the time for his work to start. He's got employment now, because the experience he's got. Yes, you won't be doing the same work, hard work, but in a different field. Now in an advisory position, whatever it is, but work must carry on. We mustn't feel that I've done enough now. That even in this dunya, that creeps into a person, that also shaitan makes. As old age comes, now I've done enough, let me rest now. They are the youngsters now. They will carry on with everything. No, carry on all the time. And be active also, for your own body also. لقد خلقنا الانسان في كبد. Allah Ta'ala says, we have created insan in hard work, in toiling. His goodness is as long as he works hard and he toils, his body works. And kabat is also the liver. And till the liver is functioning, your health is good. And if the liver stops functioning, or it's malfunctioning, or it doesn't function fully, then your health becomes very, very different types of diseases. So a person should keep on working all the time. That is extremely good for a person. So we should keep on working. Never think that now I came for Ramadan, we did so much, now I can take it easy. As Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also writes, that on Eid's night, that is a great night also for ibadat. But most of those who were making ibadat the whole month also, they feel we'll take a rest now. We have done a lot, now take a rest. No, it shouldn't be. That night also, we should devote ourselves to as much ibadat as we can. There is only goodness for a person. And ibadat also we have to take. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. One explanation ulama give, that when you have now finished your effort of deen, your work of deen, etc., whatever you were doing, now فَانْصَبْ. فَانْصَبْ, now engage in the ibadat of Allah more. And in fanfad is that ibadat which tires you. Not just casual ibadat. That you make your ibadat, but how I can manage it now comfortably. No, make so much that you get tired. That it, you can feel the strain in you. So much ibadat, you must exert yourself. Not just so much, just so much now, but it's enough now. Today I can't do more now. I have to take my rest now. No, we have to exert ourselves. So there is a great remedy. So anyway, at the end of an amal, shaitan also comes. And shaitan also tells the person, you have achieved, you have done so much. And you become conceited. You become big-headed. It goes to your head that really I have done so much. And lot of other evils with that. Now you have blown yourself up, made yourself a bubble. And you thinking, I'm really somebody. But others are not appreciating you. Your wife doesn't appreciate. She's not praising you, you made so much ibadat, and now you have a problem with her, that why doesn't she appreciate? Or the other people around you, they not expressing anything, you thinking I'm somebody, in your own thoughts, you have just, what you would like to think of yourself, you have just built up an image of yourself, and the others now you feel, so this shouldn't come. The more we make ibadat, the more humble we should come. That's the sign of the acceptance of the ibadat. And it was the right ibadat and you are going towards Allah Ta'ala. The more you will become humble, I am nothing. Nobody gives me any attention. In fact, those people are praised in the hadith that when they come to a gathering, nobody notices them. If they didn't come, nobody asks about them also. And they also contend with that. But if this attitude becomes in us, now I'm a big maulana. And when I can come, all must make way for me. All must give me the best place to sit in. All must honor me. If that attitude is coming in a person, he's on the wrong direction. He's doing the right work, but he's going in the wrong direction. Unfortunately, this has become quite common also. That people are working in deen also, even ulama, but we are on the wrong direction. If a person is going in the wrong direction, and it is going at a speed also. He is going more faster to his destruction. And if he is going in the right direction, and he gets stuck also, he have his problems, he will get up again, he falls down, he'll get up again, people will help him, but he'll go in the right way. So are we going towards Allah Ta'ala or towards dunya? Are we going to akhirat or dunya? Are we going to becoming more humble or are we getting pride in us? We want all receptions of the dunya, some awards giving time, and some other, all where the spotlight is on us, and where we come in the limelight. Do we want that, or do we want to be more like unknown? Nobody even asks about us, don't worry. Are we becoming more humble, or we want to become more popular? Are we more working for dunya, and even if we're working for the Muslims, for the dunya of the Muslims, or are we working for deen and for the deen of the Muslims? Is akhirat our objective or is dunya our objective? are we more worried about the financial condition of the Muslims, that today things have become so expensive, etc., or the crime, that Muslims kidnappings are taking place, Muslims must be protected, or are we worried about the deen of the Muslims? And how can deen come more alive? Are we seeing our solutions in dunya's things? Or are we seeing our solutions in deen's things? Are we seeing our solution in all the protocols of the virus? Or are we seeing our solutions in the amal of deen? So which direction? So if you're going on the wrong direction, and you are going at the speed also, you are going headlong to your destruction. And you are going in the right direction, even if you are just crawling, but you will reach your right direction. So very important to see. So at the end of our roza also, we have to see that humility came into us. Have we got the fear of the acceptance of amal? Now Ustad Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib Rahmatullah Ali of our primary madrasa, I had a very great fortune that I was studied under him also, great Allah wala. And then afterwards I was his neighbor also, and a very close relationship, alhamdulillah. Allah gave us these great, great opportunities for which we can never be enough thankful to Allah Ta'ala. So he used to say that just making an amal, people normally are satisfied. Namaz is made. And we also say, somebody is coming from outside, namaz is made. Namaz is over. Yeah, namaz is over. Namaz is made. But he says, is namaz accepted or not? A person himself also feels, I made my namaz. Alhamdulillah, I got my zuhr today. I got my fajr on time. I made my fajr. But this concern is not, is my fajr accepted or not also? If to be made is very important. That is the container. If the container is not there, where are you going to put the content? So the container must be there. The amal must be there. And the content, the acceptance by Allah Ta'ala. That we be concerned. You haven't got a container, it's how are you going to put the content? You got a container, but empty. That also is not beneficial. So have the container, the amal must also, the outward amal, confirming to masail also, and that what will spur us on is fadail. That will spur us on. And then after that, the content, whether it's accepted by Allah Ta'ala, and to what level it's accepted. Clearly it comes. A person makes namaz, and for some people the namaz is totally rejected. For other people 10% is accepted, 20%. So the concern that not only my namaz, all my ibadah, 100% must be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala is so merciful. One person, great buzurg, making hajj for about 30 years, and every time he says labbaik, he gets the sound which he hears, la labbaik. Your labbaik is not accepted. After about 30 years or so, his khadim, his attendant, he also heard it. That the answer came that your hajj is not, your labbaik is not accepted. So he told his shaitan, why are you taking all this trouble? All going through all the details of hajj, going to Arafat, Muzdalifah. Hajj is not easy. It's also a challenge. You're taking all this trouble, spending so much money, leaving your home, your country, and traveling and all that. So he says, which other door have I got? There is the only door, and I just keep on trying. Yeah, this door. Then the sound came that now all your 30 years of hajj are not worthy of acceptance, but we have accepted it now. Allah tabaraka ta'ala, so we must never lose hope. One person, he saw in his, between sleep and awakeness, he was lying, and he saw two farishtas who in human form walking, and they talking among themselves. And asking the one, how many people made hajj this year? 600,000. In those days, now it's by the million. So, and how many people's hajj has Allah accepted? 6 people. One person from 100,000, .000 whatever percentage comes. Only one person. And the balance of the people, what has Allah done about them? The 594,000, whatever the figure works out to, the barakat of those 6 people, Allah accepted the hajj of all 600. So just the 600,000. Like that, namaz also always make it with jamaat, unless we got a shari'i excuse. And even then, the sahaba, they would, then too they should come to the masjid. And the righteous and the pious, how when you cannot walk on your own, Even if you have to use a wheelchair, but you can't on your own, chariot excuses you. Now you can't manage, if you can't manage on your own. But then too, they make their effort. Because in the Jamaat, we know what our condition of our namaz. But always there will be at least one person whose namaz is accepted. If we buy a box of tomatoes, one rotten tomato, we reject the whole box. Allah Ta'ala, the whole box are rotten tomatoes. One good tomato, in His barakat, Allah accepts the whole box. Allah will buy the whole box and they accept it. So yeah, we don't know. Therefore, always make our namazes with Jamaat. So anyway, after now, Ramadan is coming to the end now. Allah gave us tawfiq. Everyone in his capacity, in his way, tried also. But now, pride. And we should not be amongst those people. وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفَعْلُوا. That they want to be praised of what they did not do. Like we are part here of the Khanqah. Now if some people are so, oh, there people were making so much ibadah, and so were all the programs, everything. But we were not taking part. And we also make it, I was also one of them. But we were not really taking part. Either physically also, programs taking place, we are doing our own thing. Or we are present, but mentally we are not present. Or we are sami'na wa asayna, we disobey. Or just sami'na, we heard all the programs, I was also there. Like for example, ta'aleem taking place in our masjid. And somebody asked us, how's the work of tabligh, ta'aleem in your masjid? Yes, every day ta'aleem takes place. But am I sitting in that ta'aleem or not? Just the ta'aleem taking place is a great thing. But am I sitting or not? If I'm not sitting in our town, our masjid, mashallah, lot musallis. And so many masjids in our town. And you just see people flocking. But am I going also? In my own self, so we should be concerned about ourselves. So one attitude that comes into a person as we go to the end. And also, we should be very careful our namaz we are making. Many of us, mashallah, for the past 30 years we are making namaz. We are making for the past 20 years, 40 years namaz. But my namaz also, which direction is he going? One is we take it for granted. A person going for a driving test and for his driver's license, he learns everything, all the rules, and then he's putting on his indicators. Even if he's in his own yard and he's turning into his own garage, there also he puts on the indicators. He's trained so well everywhere, but then when he's now efficient and he's learned it, he's got his license also, driving for a period also. Now he's so used to and taking it for granted, not only reading messages on the phone, replying to messages also, not voice messages, even typing messages while he's driving also. Because now he's under his control. So our namaz, as we are going, are we concerned of improving our namaz, or is now our namaz, we took it for granted. And we now, that full attention, we know our namaz, I know what to do. It's just in my mind, and I do it automatically. Until we don't have that concern to improve our namaz won't stay static, it won't stay at one level, it will drop all the time. So much so that you'll see a person just come and just put his hands down. Like no real concern also for his niyat also. And then the hand also, very commonly we see a person with his left hand, like this, we're supposed to fasten it neatly like this. But then this hand, you see, commonly, it's hanging loose at the bottom. In fact, one person I saw, Mufti Sahib, Allah save us from seeing such things. The way his left hand was, as he's holding something else in his namaz. Right at the bottom, like he's got a hard number one and he's trying to hold it or what. Now, what kind of a namaz? One good alim, he was sitting, making his nafil namaz after program was finished. We were walking out of the masjid. He was sitting right at the end on a chair and making nafil namaz. Permissible, no problem. But the way he was sitting, like he's in the couch of his lounge at home. Like casually, just like now we're standing in front of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, his house was adjacent, joined to the masjid. But in his old age, to walk to the masjid a few steps, he should get tired and he had to sit down. But when he should make his awwabin namaz, he should stand. His attendants, his khadim should tell him, Hazrat, you are so old, you can't manage it. sit and read. He said, I feel shy in front of Allah. I must sit in front of Allah. Any person you have respect and honor for, when he comes and you sitting, how it looks. Even if you can't, many buzur, they tell the khanish, make me stand up. Hazrat is coming, this person is coming. That I can't sit like this in front of Allah Ta'ala. If we just have that in front of us, that in namaz I'm standing in front of Allah Ta'ala. Then at another level, a lower level, I'm cutting my sawab by half when I'm sitting. If I can stand and I can manage it, then why must I sit and read namaz? For that also, all our musallis who sit on chairs, no problem. Shariat has permitted it, there is no problem. But don't make your own decision that I can sit on a chair and make namaz now. Verify it with one mufti at least, that this is my problem, am I permitted to sit? Otherwise you might be making your own decision. But it's not permitted, it's not acceptable. And then you are making so much effort, but no return, if it's not correct. So at least let's tell one mufti, this is my problem. I got a back problem, knee problem, whatever, my short breath, I can't stand long, whatever our problem is. And he sees, and according to Shariat, he says, no, you can't sit, then no problem. But just not on our own. And even like that, all of us, as far as we can, don't let us become casual in our namaz. So our ibadat also. So one attitude that develops in a person, where he takes things, the whole of deen, we take it for granted. In our family, at one time, with the little girls, granddaughters, where they grew up, now, one of the girls, we saw, eating time, she's not sitting with us and eating. She's away in the room. Couldn't understand why, asking her, making, and they all make the excuses. Finally, we found that she herself, her husband also, with the cousins, they grew up. Now, we don't notice it in the house. Now, when they become baligh, we have to separate them. And now, you can't sit all together, eating time, etc. So, Allah gave tawfiq, got the understanding, that's the problem. That the parda is not taking place. Now we thinking we got a house where parda, we are exercising parda. Then alhamdulillah, Allah gave tawfiq, we separated it completely. All the men one side, all the women one side. Now as the children are growing up, you don't really take notice that now is parda's hukam has come now. Now they are grown up. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to go to his one ustad's house when he was a small child. Sir. In and out of the house, no permission, just run in, used to do everything. When he became of a little of age, not yet properly, but just grown up now, then his ustad's wife stopped him from coming and told him, now you are grown up, now you can't come. Otherwise, the thing that you are used to, that I'm like a household person, and I just carry on. And then she, when we going to ask for a key, for example, she should take it and put it on a spoon and push it out from the door. Not even with her hand, on a spoon she should push it out. So this is important for us. So all things, never take things for granted. Shaitan is there, and when and how he misleads a person. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained to us, one great buzur, he was teaching, and he said that Shaitan can never get hold of me. Shaitan can't come near me. So Shaitan said, I'll show you. One day after he taught, and when he was returning home, he had to cross a little stream. When he came to the stream, it was rainy season, the stream was flowing strong. Lot of water, not just the ordinary stream, you just walk through, which he used to do. Came there was an old lady crying. What's wrong? That I have to cross, the stream is so strong, I can't cross here now. So he says, no problem, I'll take you, sit on my shoulders, and I'll carry you across. I'm a young man, I'm strong, and I'll carry you. As he came more towards the middle, he felt that her weight is becoming heavier and heavier. And an old lady, and her thighs, her legs sitting on his back, thighs, and he's pressing, holding, looking after her. And he's pressing the thighs also. And an old lady, what is left in her thighs also. And he's pressing her. And then it's becoming more and more heavier. Now he's seeing it's not standing his ground also. Water is becoming too strong. So he said, what? Shaitan said, you said you'll never, I'll never overpower you. You'll never come in my clutches. Today, who are you carrying on your back today? So Shaitan, as we take things for granted, whether it's even household things, anything, be alert all the time. A mu'min has to be alert all the time. And when shaitan, with all different, and don't just our grip, don't let it loose. The minute you let it loose a little bit, today is one day we are going with the family, we are going for a picnic or something, and we are not observant of the parda, etc., the food which we are taking. One day you just you start slipping from there, and the road down, slippery road, just goes down, and you get caught up. Where we do slip up, if we do, we are human beings. Don't slip up with tawbah and istighfar. Where we did, for example, we were not careful, and we let things, not holding our grip properly, and little bit things went out or not as it should be, make tawbah and istighfar. And whatever wrong we have done, Allahu Akbar. Once in one place where you have this dolphins in the water, and the dolphins also, the how they are so trained and what they can do. One great alim was also encouraged, let we go and see Allah's Qudrat. But he found out the details of that place. And they even suggested, and they were forcing him, Abu Shaykh Rahmatullah, go and see. But Hazrat was very careful. He found out the details. Then they quoted the name of one great Buzurko. He also went. But when he came back, he told all his friends, see, we did wrong today, we did. All went, made two rakat salatu tawbah. But Hazrat didn't go. Not at all, when he found all the details, and the ulama of the town had so much of respect and honor for Hazrat that he did not go at all. So we do sometimes slip up, then make tawbah istighfar. Don't let that be. If you missed one stop street, you didn't stop one stop, then don't think now I can go past everyone. There nothing happened to me, now I can go through everyone. You skipped one red robot by mistake. It happened. Now you think, well, I was safe. Nothing happened to me. You can't go on skipping robots. You made a mistake, make tawbah istighfar. But take your precaution. So Allah Ta'ala, so our Ramadan also, our namaz, all our ibadat, that what we have done, let us try and preserve it. Let us let it grow. Our investment, why is that person who has some capital and he doesn't just leave it like that? One of the reasons why zakat also is made compulsory on our zakat, on our money, that Islam does not like that money must stay idle. Money must be moving. It must be so everyone benefits from it. You open a shop, how many people, the customers benefit, your workers who come, they all benefit. If you just kept that money lying, you have to pay every year zakat on it. Invest it. And in the investment, how many other people get jobs? How many things open up? So Islam encourages that we must move all the time. And be on the move all the time. Not just sit still. So whatever we have earned in Ramadan, now carry on, build on it. And the real investment, our investments of Akhirat, not dunya's investment. Not what we have, what we are doing here and achieving here. But now, whatever amount of, for example, about the eyes, the guna of the eyes, how much we have learned is not sufficient. Learn more about it. And how much we have been taught to protect ourselves is not enough. Learn more about it. About the tongue, it's endless. The gunas of the tongue are endless. Find out all what the gunas of the tongue are. How dangerous this little piece of flesh is. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, you give me the guarantee of two things and I give you the guarantee of Jannah. The little piece of flesh between your tongue and between your thighs. You give me that guarantee and I give you the guarantee of Jannah. So how important is it about the ears, and then about the food that we eat, the thoughts we have to control and direct our thoughts in the right way. And then finally at the end, when we have done all this, if we haven't done it, then there is nothing for us. But if we have done it, now be worried whether it's accepted or not. Now be concerned to build this investment, this capital which we have acquired. Ramadan was the month to acquire the capital. And now you have met the bank manager. He has agreed to give you a loan, the example only, otherwise banks and that is all haram, taking loans and all the bonds, etc., from the banks that we have interest all bearing. So this is just an example. Now when you have got your capital, now for the 11 months now, build on it. Don't let you got the capital, now you're not doing anything. You're not opening your business, your factory which you wanted to. Now you got the capital of this taqwa, whatever level we got, but now build on it. And by next Ramadan, you have reached at a much higher level. And soon you won't even have to borrow money to build. Now you will be on your own. You have acquired so much, and your Ramadan after Ramadan, till when your maut comes, and you have built, what an empire. In the whole world, your empire. That is, now our work also is. And for those people who are given ijazat, they are khalifas, it's not a certificate of jannat to put some ether on it and keep it away somewhere. No, it is that we start majalis and we start working on other people also. If no one else wants to come, what our family? If the family is not interested, ourselves. But we have our majalis and we have it with try and bring as many people as possible. So that everyone, so that more and more people can benefit. And this is all the teachings of our mashayikh, our great, great ulama, our great, great mashayikh. So at the end now, as we are coming towards, and also we should keep in mind that we have many people, how many perhaps of us also, oh Ramzan, how are we going to manage 50 roza? They all gone already. And we just worried how I'm going to manage. In the meantime, we didn't fill the rosas with what we had to fill in it. The bags are going empty. Eh? And the coaches are going empty. We didn't fill. Our duty is to fill. Ramzan will pass. In any case, it's going to pass. Nothing is going to stop Ramzan from carrying on. Ramzan will carry on. But we, what have we done? And see, already the last Jummah is now finishing. This few last moments, this year's Jummah, Jummah in Ramadan is so valuable, so valuable. It's already going. So we have to try and see that what is the condition, what we have. And Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala is so merciful, so kind. Even we spoiled everything right till the last moment also. Till the last moment of our life also. We just correct it at that time also. Allah Ta'ala accepts it and wholeheartedly. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that Allah Ta'ala, if a person was young, healthy, and he was he had money also, he had health, everything, contacts also, and he didn't turn to Allah, all the wrong places. He had 3-4 cars, but not one car to take him to the masjid, to take him to all other wrong places. He had a lot of money, but with his money he couldn't go for Hajj also. He couldn't do any good work also. All the wrong things he was doing. When he's old now, his health is gone. He can't do anything. He's just lying on a bed, bedridden. His money is finished also. Nobody to care for him also. But he turns to Allah with his heart. Ya Allah, I make tawbah. Ya Allah, forgive me. Allah will not say that old man, when you could do, or when you had strength and power, then you never came to me. Now you come to me. How we speak to people. Allah will never say that. Allah with open hearts accepts that person also. A person who, with his own evil action, had reached the rock bottom of everything, where there is no more hope left for him. He just turns to Allah. Allah Ta'ala turns to him also. Our Shaykh should give the example, Rahmatullah Ali, that for example, there is a black sheep in the family who did all the wrong things. He never listened to his father, the parents, and doing everything against them. He went into drugs. He got involved with drug lords, and he bought drugs, and he's owing them. And now they want to take his life, bring the money, and they'll supply you. And till your amount is gone big, now they bring the money, otherwise we'll kill you. Now he turns to his father. If the father had that soft heart, he'll tell his the mother, the boy's mother, his wife, that all our other children who are obedient, leave them alone. Today he has come. And he is a VIP today. Prepare the best food for him. Prepare the best bedroom for him. Everything, he has come, the prodigal child that did all the, but he's coming back. Today he is the VIP. By Allah, you are like that. All those, Allah says clearly, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that all those who are reading tasbih and making Allah zikr and du'as, Allah says, this one who has made tawbah and come now to me, he is my VIP today. All the others are on their place, mashallah, they may be doing all the ibadah, they are obedient, but he has made tawbah, he is the VIP. And his words of his sobbing and crying is more valuable to me than the tasbih and the zikr and the tilawat of all these other people. So we turn to Allah. So like that, the end of our Ramadan comes, our end of all our amal. Not that we think that we have achieved a lot, and now a pride comes to us, become big-headed, and we expect that treatment from the wife now. When we go back, I spent 30, 40 days in the Khanqah, and what talks I heard, and what programs we had, and you look down upon her? No. When we go back, take a little present for the wife, and praise her, and thank her for having allowed you to come. And she made sabr with the children, she looked after them, and in a good way that we go. And that will come when we have humbleness, and our character is as such, then goodness will come. So this must not, our humbleness must come, pride must not come. And this, there are two types of big haram things. One is pride, takabbur, and the other is ujab. Ujab, conceit, that you think I'm somebody. Pride, you look down on others. I'm better than other people, which is totally haram. And ujab, you don't look down on anyone. Everyone is good. I'm also good. Just to think yourself as I'm good, that is also totally haram in Islam. Because we don't know whether we are good or what. That we'll only know by Allah Ta'ala. Our Shaykh, he visited our Ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Niyasab, told him, I heard, Rahmat Rahimuhumullah, that you made a lot of people hafiz. How many did you make? Hazrat said, immediately, spontaneously, he didn't plan up the, and make up the answer. He said, that I will know in the qabr. How many I accepted, so many I made hafiz. And what is not accepted, though they became hafiz, but it's not accepted, it's not worth it. Our Shaykh was so happy on that end, the reality. So our Ramadan, is it accepted or not? Not that we go now that we are big buzurg and we are big pious people, and especially if we get khilafat and we think, oh, I'm a big buzurg now, I got khilafat, my certificate of Jannat now, and I'm going for those whores, who are you here? You, how you look also, and your habits also, and what you are, the whores of Jannat, nothing comes out of their noses. They don't go to toilet, no winds come out from them. And you, what are you? And I think I'm a big buzur. Then we are going downwards. We haven't achieved anything. That khilafat also means nothing then. But if it makes us humble, and we turn to Allah, and we start and make majlis also with the niyat of my islah. Not that I have to make the islah of other people. My own islah. In the process, and the other people will benefit. And if we are bound, we just worried of others' Islam, and we're not worried of our own Islam, nobody's Islam will take place. And then it just won't be what a khanqa, our Shaykh should say, it will be a khamqa. It is just a nothing. It just looks like something. It's no khanqa that, it's a khamqa. Where only even zikr is taking place and ta'aleem, but the attitude is not there. So Allah accept from us, and that we don't have, that after keeping our rozas for all, even no matter how we kept our rozas, and we kept our rozas, and we tried, made our islah our concern, we were in the environment of ibadat all the time, and all the talks of deen, programs all taking place, mashallah, how many brothers, our namazes in nice, jamaat, we feel nice, but let it not go to our head. Have this fear whether it's accepted by Allah. Don't look down upon anyone that you, how you spend your Ramzan, you're going to shop every day. You didn't know what Ramzan is. Ask me where we come from. We were in the environment of Ramzan all the time. That should not be. Appreciate and think good of everyone. Don't look down upon anyone. And try and bring people closer to deen, not make them that bashiru wala tanaffiru. We make them closer, give them hopes. Don't let them lose hope. Don't push them away. A person who's falling, to push him down is very easy. But a person who has fallen down, to pick him up, this is an achievement. So those who are down and out in the gutters, to pick them up, this is an achievement. not to go out and condemn them that you are all right off and you've got nothing, you've got no position. No, win the people over. Allah, give us all tawfiq and accept from us, forgive us our shortcomings, and Allah, let us improve, and Allah still grant us Ramadan, and we make the best. That if this realization came into us, that I didn't do what I was supposed to do, I couldn't do what I had to do, I failed, oh Allah, I'm going to try my best next year. That is the attitude of the Buzurg. And if we feel this other way, that I did so much, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, the worst namaz of a person is when he makes a namaz, today I made a good namaz. That is his worst namaz of his life. And as long as he feels, I couldn't fulfill the rites. Namaz is such a lofty thing, who can fulfill the rites of namaz? As long as we feel, I was deficient. I tried my best. I think I did the right, but still I'm deficient. When that is, the person will improve. The minute I think I did it well, then he is going to be just at that level. You take a ball and throw it up, it's going to rise. But at a certain level, it's not going to stay there. And when it stops rising, it doesn't stay on its place. It comes down faster than what it went up. So if we also, we feel, I did everything. By my old age now I must take rest now. Or I've done a lot, or my Ramzan I did a lot, my namazes. The minute you feel you're there, static, you won't stay there in the air. You'll come down and you'll come down faster. And a person who thinks that he is good and he has done good, ye salih kya rahega? He won't be a good person. Muslih kya rahega? In benefiting other people, correcting other people, ye khud salih bhi nahi rahega. He won't even be a righteous person himself also. And a person who thinks I'm somebody, that person, he thinks I've got a high position. What's the word? A person who thinks that I'm somebody, he is a nothing. And when you think I'm a nothing, you everything. When you put your head down in sajda, namaz is the greatest ibadah and greatest after iman. And the greatest position in namaz is sajda. And sajda is when you put your height of your what you think, my knowledge, my know-how, how I did, you put it on the ground, I'm nothing, the reality of sajda. Not just the outward action, that is Allah's mercy. He taught us this type of reality in our ibadah, that I'm a nothing. Then, rafa'ahu Allah. Allah makes that person rise. And a person who thinks like shaitan, that how can I make sajda to Adam alayhi salam? I'm better than him. That person has got no value. Allah give us tawfiq, accept from us, and increase us in all good. وآخر دعوانا أن يحمد الله.